It's your boy Akil, back at it with another podcast episode. This one's going to be a little bit more different because it's for a class. The name of this podcast is going to be called More Than an Athlete, which I'll just be describing my experiences throughout college, which relate to my senior capstone project. So a little bit about diaspora. Diaspora is the diverse unity of a people spread far and wide. It is the dispersal from homelands, which could be from violent forces or unfortunate events. A certain memory or experience usually drives people away, or they might even choose to seek a better opportunity elsewhere. Diaspora consists of people adjusting to new places while trying to understand new people, language, and culture. People tend to take their original culture with them as they try to find a new homeland. The new experiences shape their original culture to help them expand on new ideas, and people benefit from the new experiences of a place and people. There are many lessons to learn as people try to survive in new places and make a living. Basketball has helped lay a foundation in the early stages of my life. Basketball has brought new opportunities, bridged different cultures together, and taught me many life lessons. This podcast episode is going to be about my transition from being an athlete to being a young, aspiring adult. I played basketball since I was 12 years old. The gym was my escape from reality. I faced many different types of adversity, whether it's from mental health or injuries, during my journey. I also moved around to 3 different colleges and had to adapt to new cultures on and off the floor and adjust to being around different people. I played at Western Oregon, Fullerton, and my last destination was CSUMB. I decided to retire recently, and I'm transferring the same skills I use being a basketball player to my everyday life. Throughout the semester, we've read many different books that discuss different experiences people have within diaspora. One of the books that really resonated with me was Life in Bata, and it also gave me a better understanding of diaspora. It says there are several qualities associated with diaspora: dispersal from homeland, often by violent forces, the making of a memory and a vision of that homeland, marginalization in the new location, and a commitment to the maintenance and restoration of an identity with the homeland that shapes the consciousness and solidarity of a group. So basically, the book follows the life of a man who follows his passion and discovers his identity through culture and music. Carlos was able to find his culture in places beyond the homeland. He was also able to bring specific parts of his own microculture and influence with him. So Carlos traveled to many different countries and states, and throughout his journey, he was grasping a little bit of each culture to take with him, and it kind of helped him shaped playing an instrument which was so important to him, the bata drums, and going and taking a piece from each culture and finding a better understanding of it just made it more meaningful to him. Another book we read was Perfume Dreams. Perfume Dreams was about Lam he felt. America and Vietnam were fighting for his soul. Lam felt Vietnam was no longer a part of him since he made the move after the war to go to America. And America became paradise where he could make his own path into the world. He had to let go of his old culture and traditions, which helped him find his happiness and accomplish goals. And he changed his identity to continue to grow into the U.S. soil. So Lam, his story is a lot different from many because he didn't want any parts of his original homeland anymore. And he ingrained himself into the American lifestyle. And his parents didn't like that, but he thought that it was best for his life going forward. Another book that resonated with me was The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. He was a Dominican, and Oscar, he tries to fit within his community and assert his own identity and find love, and he fails to fit in the Latino community and isn't able to overcome his own insecurities, and he's not accepted by his family, friends, or even his college peers. And his approach Well, his approach to college was it was going to be different and people were going to like him, but it was a common theme with him was not being accepted. So he got to college and he still wasn't accepted by his peers based on his race and skin color. The last book that really resonated with me was Reflections on a Puerto Rican Life. Benji Lopez is from Puerto Rico. During his time in Puerto Rico, he had a lot of trauma. There was a hurricane and economic depression, which messed up the Puerto Rican economy. His family was forced to move to an urban slum, and he did a lot of moving throughout his life until he decided to settle in New York. And I think the best way to describe Benji was he was a survivor and a hustler because he overcame a lot of adversity when times were tough for him in New York. And he took a piece of his culture with him, which was music and dance, to still show his Puerto Rican side while he was in New York. Many of these books had common themes throughout them. I decided to take quotes from each of the books that specifically resonated with some of my experiences with my diaspora. The first quote is from The Wondrous Life of Oscar. And this quote kind of helps sum up the beginning of The Wondrous Life of Oscar. He's getting over his golden age. And his golden age was a time where he had two girlfriends. He was really attractive. He was young. No complaints. Life was great. And he couldn't get over the fact that when his golden age was over, everything seemed to go downhill and he couldn't bounce back. So he, after his golden age, he hit puberty. He got fat. He was seen as unattractive. He couldn't find any love. And my comparison throughout my life, my golden age was before I was injured. So I was healthy throughout my college career with basketball. And after my golden age would be like battling injuries throughout my college career. So during my golden age, everything was good as far as basketball, my mental, mentally and physically. And I felt like the sky was the limit for me going forward with basketball, and I could accomplish many of the goals I had set out until I injured myself in high school, before my senior year. And after that, everything seemed to feel like it was going downhill as far as the beginning of The Wondrous Life of Oscar. He's getting over his golden age. And his golden age was a time where he had two girlfriends. He was really attractive. He was young. No complaints. Life was great. And he couldn't get over the fact that when his golden age was over, everything seemed to go downhill and he couldn't bounce back. So he, after his golden age, he hit puberty. He got fat. He was seen as unattractive. He couldn't find any love. And my comparison throughout my life, my golden age was before I was injured. So I was healthy throughout my college career with basketball. And after my golden age would be like battling injuries throughout my college career. So during my golden age, everything was good as far as basketball, my mental, mentally and physically. And I felt like the sky was the limit for me going forward with basketball, and I could accomplish many of the goals I had set out until I injured myself in high school, before my senior year. And after that, everything seemed to feel like it was going downhill as far as everything seemed to be going downhill because I had several different college coaches contacting me during the time I was going into my senior year, where guys usually get a scholarship for college, and it was just bad timing all around. So a lot of coaches I didn't hear from anymore once they had found out I was hurt and I had to sit out a whole year because I tore my ACL. And another quote that resonated with me from the book was there was the initial euphoria of finding himself alone at college, free of everything, completely on his own, and with an optimism that here among these thousands of young people, he will find someone like you. So that resonated with me a lot because my transition from being in LA to going to school in Oregon, I didn't find many people, like myself or many people I was accustomed being around, especially being from LA and everyone is supposed to be stuck up and have like their guard up. When I was in Oregon, everyone was probably a lot more friendly. I just wasn't used to not being around a diverse group of people. So I was trying to find myself not only within school grounds, but in public places as well. I was trying to find where I fit in because a lot of times in class, I was the only African American. Another one from the story was because the feeling, it just kept getting stronger and stronger. Wouldn't let me sleep, wouldn't give me any peace. I started losing races, which was something I never did. That quote really resonated with me because during, well, recently, my journey, finally deciding to give up basketball and retire, kind of the feelings I was having throughout the process of finally like deciding whether to just let it go or not, they, as each game went by and as I faced another injury this past season, I was finding it hard to find any peace within anything I was doing because I knew deep down in my heart that I didn't want to do it anymore. And not only did I have my parents trying to convince me to continue to finish it out strong, I was not, I was trying to take their advice and apply it, but I think it was best, that I let it go because I did find my peace after that, rather than battling my parents and in my own head whether I wanted to continue to play or not. There's one more quote from the book that really resonated with me. It says, "I was 14, desperate for my own patch of the world that had nothing to do with her." This resonated with me because I left my mom's house when I was 18 years old. I was eager to be on my own and make my own decisions and kind of like make my own mistakes. So I guess I just wanted to be an individual for once in my life at a young age and just trying to figure out life. And I think that really helped me grow as a person tremendously. Now I'm gonna talk about some quotes that resonated with me from reflections on a Puerto Rican life. The first one I'm gonna start with says, "That's why when I got to New York, I was lost for a while. I didn't know a whore in my life. I didn't know how to do anything in my early years. I didn't know anything but to just go to school and do what I wanted to do. Walk around the country, ride a horse, stuff like that. Really, my second growing didn't come until the city of New York, starting when I was 23 years old." So that kind of goes with the last quote I was just talking about, just finding my own path in life. And I didn't know much until I got to be an individual and be on my own. Before, all I knew was basketball, basketball, basketball. And this was kind of my transition into like adulthood and being a man and making my own decisions. And basketball was still a component in my life, but I think I started to, be more open-minded and try to grasp other interests throughout that process. Another quote from the Reflections on a Puerto Rican Life. It says, "Benji Lopez was no ordinary individual. His life demonstrated the resiliency and the resourcefulness of those human beings who have learned to beat the system. A testimony to human intelligence, the will to resolve problems no matter the disadvantages." So this really resonated with me because I felt like I always found a way, no matter how down or tough times got. I always found a way to persevere and keep going. Even mentally, when I was battling through injuries and I felt like I couldn't get back to my original self, I kept working hard and kept battling, and I feel like, at the end of the day, I put 110% into getting back to how I originally was, and to, overcome the different adversity that I faced throughout my college career. And I'll get a little bit more in depth with that after I finish talking about each quote that I really liked. But I definitely would say I learned how to survive on my own and make a way at a young age. So now I'm going to transition into my journey and my experiences within diaspora. And again, the three different colleges I attended were Western Oregon University, Fullerton, and lastly CSUMB. And you'll find a lot of common themes within my journey. Just like some of the quotes that I brought up, or and the brief summaries I talked about within the books we've read so far this semester. So I decided to commit to Western Oregon in 2014, and I was excited to be on my own for the first time. This is the furthest I had been away from family and friends. I was 18 years old, and I was eager just to find my way into the world. And the opportunity to college basketball, that had always been a goal of mine for the longest. So I was excited to finally, accomplish that goal. And I had overcome my first bit of adversity right before with the ACL injury. There were different cultures, people, and scenery I had to get adjusted to once I got to Oregon. I was from LA, which is very, diverse and accustomed to the fast-paced city life. And Oregon was very slow-paced and in like a rural area full of nature. It was also very gloomy and rained more than what I was accustomed to. But that was something I could get used to as far as the weather, at least. It was a culture shock, definitely from the jump, being in a rural area for the first time, and being in Monmouth too. It was one of the, I think it's top 10 worst cities in the world. So it was a predominantly white city, a very small college town. And I come from a big city, LA. Something's always going on, and now I'm transitioning to slow pace, like I said, and a very small college town that's not very diverse either. The way people dress was different. Everybody in LA tries to have some sort of designer, or try to make themselves seem something they're not. Whereas in Oregon, people were just comfortable in their own skin. Whether I would see some people with kind of the same, I would say swag, but it was a lot different too, just as far as like, because it was more country. People embraced like the country culture, and music wise was a lot different. It wasn't too far-fetched as far as the music and what people listen to, but definitely a lot more country music. And usually the only black people that I saw were athletes at my university. So whether I was in class, the store, movies, it was usually predominantly white, and I would stick out. So a lot of times I would feel uncomfortable. At least my first year being out there, I'm a young adult, 18 years old, never been away from home, never been in an environment like that with that lacked diversity. So I would feel uncomfortable. And the basketball gym and being amongst my teammates, I felt most comfortable. So I didn't really do a whole lot of going out just because of that reason. The basketball team, we were made up of many different races, and guys were from all over. So we had guys from all over California, from north to south, guys from Oregon, and one guy from Chicago. And within basketball, you all have to work towards a common goal. And we all had different terminology. We had someone from Chicago, they might say something that means the same thing from someone from LA. So as far as just our terminology, so like my LA terminology is way different from somebody in Oregon or somebody from Chicago. So we had to learn each other's personalities to come together to just develop that team chemistry. Our coaches kind of set the tone. They let us know what they expected. They wanted to build a winning culture, which I had been used to. I had been a winner all my life coming from the high school that I played at, Westchester, and they wanted to build a tough team that they could rely on. So they demanded excellence from us every day. And within basketball, you build a culture, and culture within basketball can be defined as shared expression of a group's attitudes, beliefs, and values. So, like I said, we had common goals that were set out. The coaches told us what they valued and what how we should carry ourselves while we were, a part of the program. And it started getting rocky for me being in Oregon when me and my coach didn't see eye to eye. I was already not accustomed to being in Oregon and didn't like it, wanted to come home. But my parents, I mean, I couldn't complain. I was on a basketball scholarship. My education was paid for. But my parents, really stressed the importance of me, sticking it out and being tough. But once I felt like me and my coach didn't see eye to eye, I felt like there was no point in me being in Oregon anymore, because one of the main reasons I was out there is because I had a basketball scholarship, not because I just enjoyed the area. So it was difficult for me already to be away from family, and since things weren't going well with me and the coach, I decided to move on. Me and the coach had butt heads towards the end of the season, and he liked to question my toughness a lot and call me a coward because I didn't play in a game where I thought that I wouldn't be able to compete to my full capabilities because I had hurt my knee again. So I felt like I wasn't I didn't I felt like he didn't want me any want me to be there anymore. So I didn't get to go home throughout the season much, so I decided to move on. And I think that was the best decision for me going forward. But I definitely appreciated being in Oregon because I got to grow up a little bit and experience being on my own. I finally leave Oregon, and my next destination is Fullerton College. Fullerton College is a junior college, and junior college lifestyle is just a lot different from being at a university. You tend to struggle a lot more. And I was familiar with the area. It was in Southern California, and it was diverse, with students from all over California. But my approach was different because now I'm trying to fight for another scholarship. So I'm battling something. I'm battling similar things that I battled in high school. I'm coming off another knee injury. So I tore my meniscus going into my junior college year, and I don't have any scholarships. So it's kind of like a repeated cycle at this point. But now I feel prepared for it since I had been through it. So I was planning to get another scholarship. Fullerton College had already developed a winning program, and the coach was tough. Our team was guys from all over California, basically, with one kid from New York. And it was a struggle being out of junior college because you struggle financially, because California junior college, they don't give you scholarships. So you're playing at junior college. A lot of guys might have to commute. I commuted every day an hour just to get to practice. Luckily, my classes were online, and I was confident in my abilities once I had come back from this injury, but my coach told me that I wasn't good enough to play at the level that I already came from, which was Division II, and he said I wasn't good enough to play Division I. So I didn't get much help from my coach as far as my recruitment. So I started to just dread being in practice, going to games. And basketball was always my escape from reality. I could always count into being there, whether I need to get some shots up or just run up and down. Just being competitive was always a key component of my life. So my coach, he found opportunities for other guys on my team, but I kind of have to be proactive about my recruitment. And luckily, I had a good enough year to where coaches kind of had knew who I was, so it led to me getting this last scholarship to play at CSUMB. And I got to CSUMB. I was m more motivated than ever. I finally stayed healthy for a long time. And Monterey Bay was a familiar area. It was right by the beach. It's pretty diverse for the most part, so I felt comfortable in public places on and off campus. And the basketball team hadn't really developed a culture yet, and the coach was bringing in his first recruiting class. So this was my first time being an older guy on the team. So I knew like the younger guys had to rely on me not only for like guidance, but just to go and set the tone every day and show them what college basketball was all about if you wanted to be a winning program. So I would always pass down information to my younger teammates because I had been through so much at this point, as far on the court, off the court, dealing with coaches, dealing with the different adversities. So I would always share information. And this our team consisted of guys from California, Oregon, and one kid from Australia. We all shared common interests within sports, music, and clothes. We bonded very well off the floor. So we were just a young team, trying to find ourselves. And the head coach wanted to build a winning culture with which this program had never had before. So this was a lot different from what I was accustomed to, playing out winning programs throughout my whole life. And my coach philosophy was to always hold yourself accountable and be the best version of yourself. And where I was used to, coaches yelling and screaming and holding you accountable and telling you what they expected. And now I'm expected to do that on my own. So it was definitely a different approach. And I feel like it was more realistic to think how things were going into the real world. So he expected guys to give their best efforts and would talk to you if he felt otherwise. This was my first time, developing a really good relationship with the head coach during my college career. And we would communicate on and off the floor. And I felt like I just felt way more comfortable just being at CSUMB because I had that relationship with not only my coaches, but I could relate to a lot of my teammates. But unfortunately, I was plagued with injuries, and I wasn't able to finish seasons during my 2 years at CSUMB. And I decided, so my first year at CSUMB, I tore my meniscus again 5 games into the season, and I contemplated stop playing basketball or to keep going. And I decided to keep going, and this last surgery, I was told, your meniscus is little to none, so it'd probably be best if you kind of just moved on. They don't know if I would be able to come back healthy or not. And I ended up coming back healthy, but shoot, 5 or 6 games into this on my most recent season, I hurt my wrist, and that was kind of like my breaking point. I had already been fighting whether I wanted to keep playing or not, just because at this point I feel like athletically, I couldn't get back to where I was before. So a lot of the things that I was trying to do, I wasn't capable of anymore, and I didn't really sit well with me. So I finally let basketball go. Throughout my journey, I faced many different types of adversity. Three of my pieces of adversity, which I touched on briefly, were my three knee surgeries. And this podcast piece will give you a little bit more insight on how I was feeling and how these injuries came about. I'm just going to touch on, what I've been going through lately, and just try to inspire some people just to keep going and to battle through adversity, even when times get rough, just to keep going and stay positive. And I think the first bit of adversity that hit me was in high school when I tore my ACL and my meniscus. It was just crazy, unexpected, going out there playing basketball, and you don't expect to get hurt when you step on the floor, but that's what comes with it. It was my junior summer going to my senior year, which was like a crucial time for me to figure out what university I was going to be going to for the next 4 years and, getting a scholarship. So I was so anxious to get back on the floor because I had sprained my knee, and I didn't really know what to do afterwards as far as like how long I should sit and whatnot. So I just waited till I felt good again. I went out there. First play, I got the ball. Just bang. Knee just went out. And I just fell straight on my face. And I didn't know what to do because my knee was just, it just felt like it was on fire. Like somebody was just continuously stabbing me in my knee. So I just laid there and I was just devastated. My mom had told me, like, you shouldn't even try to play. Like, just give it some more time. But, you know, I just went out there because, you know, that's what I love to do. That was my escape. But tore my ACL and just the emotions after that was just crazy. Having to wait and hear the news that, yes, you tore your ACL. This is the process. You need surgery. And I had to text, you know, coaches like, yo, I tore my ACL. And at that point, you know, all Division I's were out the door. And it just wasn't the route I was going to be able to take anymore. And I think the roughest part about it was, you know, around the time where they were going to clear me, I just still didn't feel like myself. Like, I wasn't as athletic yet or agile and whatnot. So just getting back to your normal self is the hardest part about it and moving right again. But eventually I got back there and I ended up choosing to go to Western Oregon, where I sat out my first year redshirted and got bigger, got stronger, and, you know, got a lot better, actually. And it was a good program. Things didn't end up working out in the end, but I took a lot of positives from it. I wasn't able to play in a conference tournament there, though. And, you know, I sprained my knee, and this, like, led to my, you know, second piece of adversity, where I ended up tearing my meniscus just at open gym, just, you know, trying to get better. Ended up trying to come to a stop, and you just gave out on me again. And I kind of knew this time, I was like, yeah, something's wrong. So got the MRI, and they had told me, yeah, you tore your meniscus. This is the process and whatnot. But it was a crucial time, too, again, because I was trying to figure out if I was going to go to what junior college I was going to go to. Ended up choosing Fullerton, which we had a really good year, and I was able to showcase that, you know, I could shoot, because at Western, for some reason, I could not shoot to save my life. But I was able to show coaches that I could shoot, and I would improve my game, although, you know, I didn't have the summer to really work out and get better like I wanted to because I was rehabbing my knee. But the process wasn't as tough coming back from the meniscus. And I just battled and eventually, you know, was able to move like I wanted and was athletic again and whatnot. And, you know, could enjoy working out and playing. And then ultimately, that's what led to me coming to Monterey Bay, which I love. I love it here. It's cool. Like, it's really chill. Love my teammates, coach and staff and everything. And they're really supportive. And this is like my third piece of adversity hits me here this season, where I tear my meniscus again. And it was pretty random. Like, I went to the game. I was going into the game. My knee was hurting a little bit. But, you know, like, you have your little aches and you'll be sore for some games. So I thought it was just, you know, some soreness, and I wasn't really doing much playing defense, and I just felt a pop, and I just had new, like, yes, my meniscus again. But I was a little down during the game, actually, like, after that happened, because I knew what had happened, and I was just kind of sad at that point, because it's just, like, this was a fresh new start for me to, you know, showcase that I'm good, and, you know, just help another team win games and, you know, try to get the best out of the program. And I know, like, the coaches were looking forward to me, you know, having a really good year, and my teammates as well. Obviously myself, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to perform. And I think that's like a lot of the reason why some games are like, I find myself struggling because I put so much pressure on myself rather than just going out there and having fun. But yeah, that was my third piece of adversity. But after that, I took a couple months to really think about if basketball was the route I really want to take. Because, I mean, without basketball, I don't know where I would be. Like, I got my education paid for because of basketball. So I took a couple months and I came to the conclusion that I was going to continue to play. And that's what I wanted to do. I really loved
love the game, and it was hard for me to be away from it, and I could just tell how I was reacting, like, when I was contemplating, like, whether I wanted to do it or not, I just didn't feel the same. And then once I came to the decision that I was going to continue and have surgery again and play, I felt a lot better, and my friends and my family helped me a lot.
And I learned valuable lessons throughout my journey, and I appreciate, you know, the things that basketball has helped me, you know, learn about myself. Most importantly, I value being a leader and being someone for others to look up to now. Being a leader takes a lot of humility while spreading positivity. So even when times are rough and people are down, you can count on me to always, you know, try to bring people up, even when I'm not feeling at my best. And I learned the importance of having a work ethic by being pushed every day by my coaches and teammates, so I can apply that same work ethic into the next phase of my life, whatever I decide to work to be a part of, or work, or whatever company I decide to work for. I also learned how to overcome adversity by going through the injuries that I did, being away from home, and being doubted. So I went through 3 major knee injuries that I feel like life can get no worse than that, especially after my first one. All I knew was basketball, and I tore my ACL, and I had to sit out a whole year and kind of have to be more open-minded and kind of find what else I was interested in as a person away from basketball. And being away from home at a young age, 18 years old, moving to Oregon, you know, being away from home, it wasn't uncommon for me anymore. I was used to it. I knew how to make decisions. I knew how to be on my own and go to the grocery store, or, you know, just be away from friends and family, like be out of my comfort zone. And I also learned how to communicate with different people from different backgrounds. So I've been playing basketball since I was 12 years old. But in college, I think, you know, you could become more aware of the type of people you're dealing with, whether it's people you didn't like or people you did like or people of different race. I learned how to communicate with many different people, which I will need to apply in the next phase of my life as well. And overall, it taught me discipline, which plays an important role in my decision making. So discipline, just learn how to be early to things, be on, like I said, be early, be on time, to always do my best, work my butt off. And it made me more mindful of what I was putting into my body, the amount of rest I was getting, so I could perform at a high level. So I can take all these characteristics I have learned, and they will help me going forward into the real world. So just to summarize everything I just talked about, my experiences throughout my 5 years of college within diaspora just come from my basketball experiences on and off the floor, learning new cultures, being around different people, and some of the stories that I enjoyed reading throughout the semester so far really resonated with some of the experiences I did have and helped me learn or helped me understand what the word diaspora really means and how it can be applied to everyone's life.